चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशरि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here with you again.
Ich bin sehr froh, wieder mit euch hier zu sein.
Do you need to translate? Or?
Maybe I should. wir müssen mal sehen, brauchen wir überhaupt eine Übersetzung vom Englischen ins Deutsche? Wer von euch kann, sagen wir mal so, kein Englisch verstehen und versteht nur Deutsch? Bitte du die Hand heben. Das sind nicht viele. Eins, zwei. All of you speak English, so wie du, right? Yes? No need?
Yeah. In Germany, everyone speaks English.
We can do it if someone needs. But only one person rose their hand, so we don't need. Yeah? Wo meinst du? Sag doch, he can announce a translation. Okay. Yeah. Then he can go in the corner. Du musst in Deutsch sagen. Lo-chan ist ein Professor für englisch-deutsche Sprache. Also man kriegt bei ihm eine Übersetzung umsonst, kostenlos. Sonst kostet er für eine Stunde 2000 Mark. Aber heute ganz frei.
Very much enjoy coming to Germany. Mainly because here I can get the association of Sachinandan Maharaj. Sometimes you come across somebody, at the very first meeting you feel that you're very close to him. And that's how I felt when I first met Sachinandan Maharaj. And I'm sure many of you also felt the same way. Isn't it?
Yes.
And I was very fortunate to have many wonderful time together those days. Preaching in Germany was very exciting. Not many of you were there at that time, involved in Krishna consciousness movement, But many people were very much involved and very appreciative. Sachinandan Maharaj and myself used to travel all over Germany and used to have programs, and then we used to have at the end question-answer sessions, which often used to be very challenging, and it was great fun. And most of you, I'm sure, know that the enormous contribution Sachinandan Maharaj made to the preaching in Germany. But still, I would like to speak something about my perception about preaching in Germany, propagation of Krishna consciousness in Germany, and Srila Sachinandan Maharaj's role in that. In Germany, initially we had few centers and one major temple, and that temple was near Frankfurt in Schloss Rettershof, big Schloss, big castle, and our society was quite thriving. But unfortunately, the German government became alarmed that another unwanted and strange religious group is becoming so prominent in Germany. And the result was they clamped on us and closed us down. That was long time ago, in 74. And then gradually our society started to lose ground in Germany. And then Prabhupada made Srila Harikesh Maharaj the GBC of Germany, because the previous GBC made such a big mess in Germany that Prabhupada decided to take him out of Germany and assigned Srila Harikesh Maharaj with that responsibility. And when Harikesh Maharaj came here, gradually he perceived, he made one observation, and that observation was that if we are in one place, no matter how big we are, the government can close us down at any moment. But if we are scattered all over, and if many people are involved, then it will be beyond the government's ability to stop us. And that's in this way, Harikesh Maharaj actually developed the idea of spreading many, many Namhat centers in Germany, in every town and village, no matter how small it is. Sometimes, those days, some Namhat centers was just husband and wife, and their house became the Namhat center. Most really, many of you are the pioneers of those Namhat preaching in early 80s. And Sachinandan Maharaj was the person who was traveling all over Germany, inspiring people to become devotees and open such Namhat centers. And he was cultivating their spiritual life. I was very fortunate to be with Sachinanda Maharaj those days, and we have many, many fond memories of those days preaching in Germany. Sometimes we would go to a preaching program in a Nam Art center, and there would be only about 5-6 people, and it was so exciting. It was not as big as we are seeing it today. Even I remember in Wiesbaden, as we were remembering, as Sachinanda Maharaj was remembering, about 10-11 years ago, we used to come to the Wiesbaden, and Mother Daya and Paramatma Prabhu are the two persons who are taking care of this preaching center here, and there would be about 10-12 people gathered for the program, and within 10 years time we can see how wonderfully it has grown. The movement has grown, and I very fondly remember that what a wonderful contribution Sachinanda Maharaj made in spreading Krishna consciousness in Germany due to his love and dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And this is how Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to one place and he would preach to some people, and they would take up the mission, they would take up the cause of Krishna consciousness, and they would go to their respective places and they would start to preach. And then hearing them, the people in those places will become devotees, and then they will go out and start to preach. In this way, Krishna consciousness movement spread. And this is how Krishna consciousness movement is spreading today. And this is how Krishna consciousness movement will continue to spread in future. And I am confident a time will come when millions of people will be involved in this movement. And this movement will spread in every town and village. In every town and village. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted. In every town and village all over the world, this Krishna consciousness movement will spread. And who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, his words, his prediction cannot go in vain. It's bound to happen. When God says something, can that go in vain? No. Whatever God says is bound to happen. In the Christian world, you know the concept. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So God simply has to say something, or he simply has to wish something, and it will happen. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is he who actually said, let there be light, and there was light. So when he says that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village, it is bound to happen. It's only a matter of time. How long, we do not know. But in due course of time, it will happen. Twenty years back, who could ever imagine that Krishna consciousness movement would spread the way it spread. Before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, who could ever imagine that this movement would spread the way it did? And it took him only 10 years. Srila Prabhupada, within 10 years' time, spread this movement all over the world. It may not have been in every town and village, but it spread all over the world. And it is due to Srila Prabhupada's loyal followers that this Krishna consciousness movement will continue to spread. Sometimes the experts express their surprise that this movement, ISKCON, in spite of the disappearance of its founder, Srila Prabhupada, is actually expanding. Usually what happens is, in a spiritual organization or in any organization, especially in a spiritual organization, when the founder leaves, when the founder leaves his body, his organization collapses or is reduced greatly. But with ISKCON, it is different. Because although Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and it is natural that after the disappearance of the founder, the leader who founded the organization faced a lot of difficulties, but this movement is continuing. And it is expanding. When Prabhupada was here, although the movement spread in a tremendous dimension, but today the number of centers of ISKCON has increased to almost three times of that. When Prabhupada was here, we had about 108 centers that Prabhupada established. But now ISKCON has over 300 centers all over the world. And yes, the society has faced a lot of difficulties, but the society is still growing. It's not only going on, but it is expanding. And in this way, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is going to revolutionize the spiritual status of this world. There is going to be a massive, it's already happening, there's a massive spiritual revolution taking place. But it is not a, whenever we hear the name revolution, we generally tend to become afraid, because revolution means bloodshed, violence. But this is a very wonderful revolution. It is a revolution that is happening through love. There is no bloodshed, but there is enormous changes are taking place in the society, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual spiritual world. But it's all happening through love. And that's why we can see that this society has members from all different backgrounds. Like, apparently those who would have been inimical towards each other, they are harmoniously related to each other. In a very friendly way they are related to each other. Just today Sachinandan Maharaj was telling me about one incident. recently Maharaj was in India. He went to Ekachakra, the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu. And incidentally, Nityananda Prabhu's birthday and Sachinandan Maharaj's birthday falls on the same day. So that's how actually the discussion started. So Ekachakra is a place where Nityananda Prabhu appeared. And Sachinandan Maharaj went there with one of another godbrother of ours, Radhanath Maharaj. He's from America. And he took his disciple along with Sachinandan Maharaj to Ekachakra, the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu. And there, when they were discussing about Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, Sachinandan Maharaj was telling about, in a very humble way, he was explaining that how he thinks that how he thought that he was coming from a very gross background. And he was telling that his father was actually involved with the Nazis. And he was involved in killing many Jews. Anyway, I think it was Sachinandu Maharaj's transcendental pastimes that he appeared in the family like that. And he was telling that, but in spite of hailing from such a background, he has been able to receive Krishna consciousness. He has become a devotee of Krishna. He has become situated on a pure spiritual platform. And it's all due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. He was telling this is how Nityananda Prabhu is bestowing his mercy. So then Radhanath Maharaj responded by saying that he actually comes from a Jewish background. And his father told him that because of the Nazis, he had to leave Germany, run away with his family, and his father from his childhood told him, never associate with a German. But today it is due to Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Like he is one of his best friends and very, very dear godbrother is Sachinandan Maharaj, who is a German. So this is how a revolution is taking place. This is the revolution. Revolution means the changing of the direction of the movement. People think in a certain way, but when their thought process is changed in another way, that is the real revolution. In this world, people are thinking in a certain way. I am German, you are Jewish, he is American, he is Russian, he is a Hindu, he is a Muslim. And accordingly they react. But due to this Krishna consciousness movement, we all have become united irrespective of all our material differences. And this is the revolution that's taking place. And how this revolution is happening, how such an incredible change is happening. It is happening due to love. In this world, no one actually knows what love is. Although love is the most commonly used word. Statistics has been taken and it has been seen that of all the words that man uses, love, the word love is most common, most commonly used or most most frequently used. Now isn't it strange? The expression that is most frequently used People do not know what it means. People do not know what love actually means. And love is, the definition of love is heart's spontaneous craving to become united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when man forgets God, then he doesn't know where to put his love. And he tries to put his love. Love is actually the heart's spontaneous craving to become united with somebody. And who is that somebody? That somebody is God. Somebody is Krishna. But when he doesn't know who, when he forgets Krishna, then he doesn't know who he wants to become united with. And then he tries to become united with so many other things or so many other objects. But no matter wherever he imposes his love, he is never satisfied. What goes on in the name of love in this world is actually lust. Love and lust are two different things. Love is the heart's spontaneous craving to become united with Krishna. And lust is the desire to exploit others for the sake of our own sense gratification. Now what's going on in the name of love today in this world is actually lust. But Srila Prabhupada came and he taught us what real love is. And that real love is love for Krishna. And when we love Krishna, then automatically we love Krishna's parts and parcels. If you love somebody, then whatever is connected to that person, you love that also. So when we love Krishna, then automatically we love Krishna's parts and parcels. When we love Krishna and we realize that every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna, then automatically we develop our love for those living entities also. And that is how Srila Prabhupada is unifying this world today. In International Society for Krishna Consciousness, people do not identify, the devotees do not identify themselves with their material designations. They identify themselves with their spiritual identity. In Krishna Consciousness Movement, they do not think, I am German, you are Indian, I am Christian, you are Jewish, I am a Hindu, you are a Muslim, I am a Russian, you are a Chinese, I am black, you are white. No. In Krishna Consciousness Movement, devotees don't think in this way. On the other hand, in Krishna Consciousness Movement, as you all know, we all learn to identify ourselves as parts and parcel of Krishna. We all are spiritual beings. It is not that you are German or I am Indian and so on and so forth. This body may have been born in India and your body may have been born in Germany. This body may have been born in a Jewish family or your body may have been born in a Christian family and so on and so forth. But that's only the body's designation. Just like today you may be wearing a jacket tailored in America and somebody is wearing a jacket tailored in China. Now does that identify that the one who is wearing a jacket made in America is American and the one who is wearing a jacket made in China is a Chinese? No, you know it's just an external covering and it doesn't really matter where it was made. And when you take off the covering, then you see the real identity of the person. Similarly, these bodily designations are not really important. Our real identity is we all are spirit souls. What is the spirit soul? The spirit soul is he who makes the body alive. When we say I, we actually identify to the spirit soul, not the body. But because we have been deluded to think that this body is our real identity, we mistakenly identify ourselves with the body, but that's wrong. But when one becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, he realizes that his actual identity is spiritual. And that's why it doesn't matter where his body was born and brought up, what is the kind, what is the shape of the body or the color of the body and so on and so forth. What actually matters is how much that person has become connected to Krishna. The only consideration for a devotee is how much he has become attached to Krishna. And whenever he comes across somebody who is very attached to Krishna, he becomes attracted to him. And he develops friendship. I remember a long time ago I read a book called All Quiet on the Western Front. Book called All Quiet on the Western Front. I don't know whether you, any of you read it. It was written by Eric Maria Remarque. He's talking about one. It's about the war between Germany and France. And towards the end, he's describing that he sees that a body of a German soldier and the body of a French soldier are dead in a trench. And he is remarking, he is thinking that they were actually fighting for one part, one was fighting for Germany and the other was fighting for France, and they were fighting with each other. But now that they are dead, who are they? Are they German or French? So, that is how futile our material identities are. And a devotee learns not to put too much importance in these material designations. What is our external covering is like, that's not important. What actually matters is how our inside is like. And our inside, the purity of our inside depends upon how attracted we have become to Krishna. Because Krishna is our origin. It's Him we all came from. And what actually matters is our attachment to Him. And a devotee learns to become attracted to Krishna, become attached to Krishna. And as a result of that, we are seeing that in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, people from all different backgrounds have become harmoniously related to each other, have become perfectly, lovingly related to each other. And this is the real solution to all the problems of this world. Today we can see that all the leaders and thinkers of this world are aspiring for one objective. And that objective is the how to have an united world. At least the political leaders are verbally expressing that desire. How much they are trying to do that, or how successfully they have achieved it, is another thing. But at least they are saying, "Well, we want an united world, a world where everybody is unified." And that's why we have the United Nations and such organizations. But what we see that with the passing of time, although they are saying United Nations, but with the passing of time they are becoming divided. Prabhupada, when he used to go for a walk in New York, he used to walk by the United Nations building. And Prabhupada used to comment that if they really want to become united, then how come the numbers of flags are increasing? So that means the world is becoming divided. So although they want to become united, they do not know how to become united. But we can see in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, people from all different backgrounds, name any, and we are all united. In ISKCON, we have the Americans and Russians, the Chinese and the Japanese, and the blacks and whites, the Hindus and Muslims, Christians and Jews, name any background, we have our members. And they all are perfectly situated, most harmoniously related to each other. Now, if our principle, when applied on certain area, produces certain result. Now, if you increase the field of application, will it produce the same result? Naturally, it will produce the same result. If some principle is applied in this area and it produces certain result. Now if we apply that principle on this area, this much area, will it produce the same result? Right? Now if ISKCON in the principles that we are applying is producing the result of unity, irrespective of our differences. Now if this principle is applied to the whole world, what will be the result? The whole world will become united. But unfortunately, these so-called political leaders are so stupid that they don't even want to consider this possibility. They are not seeing that ISKCON is actually the solution to the problems of the world, but they are trying to brand ISKCON as a sect and trying to ban it. But that's the natural phenomenon. When good things happen, the evil tries to stop it. But can evil ever stop the progress of good? No, never. They may try to create problems for the time being, but they'll never succeed. Those who work on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no force in this world, no matter how evil it is, can never stop it. So this Krishna consciousness movement cannot be stopped. And this Krishna consciousness movement is going to establish real peace and harmony all over the world in due course of time. I want to say very soon, but instead of that, I prefer to say in due course of time, because ultimately it's the hand of Krishna. If Krishna wants, he can make this whole world Krishna conscious in no time. But Krishna will make things happen in the appropriate time according to his desire. Therefore we see Srila Prabhupada, he had to struggle for 70 years. And then at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada came to the West. But then within 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we have to understand that that was Krishna's plan. Krishna wanted Prabhupada to come at the age of 70. And Krishna created the ground perfectly for Srila Prabhupada. And when Srila Prabhupada came, it just started to spread in a most wonderful way. And within 10 years' time, it spread all over the world. So, this is how Srila Prabhupada has bestowed his most magnanimous mercy upon this world. And it's up to us to take advantage of that. Hare Krishna. So I sincerely request to all of you, please take full advantage of that. Srila Prabhupada, never ever doubt that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada was specially sent by Krishna to fulfill his prediction. And the process that Srila Prabhupada gave is the perfect process. And the institution that Srila Prabhupada made, ISKCON, is the perfect institution, and this institution, this society is going to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's going to happen through this ISKCON. And with that conviction, take full advantage of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and remain with ISKCON, within ISKCON, and try to help this society as much as you can. And the result will be, your life will be glorious. And Krishna will use you as an instrument in his most wonderful mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Now I request Satchananda Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Since Bhakti Charu Maharaj has requested me, I will speak a little bit about some foundational principles of Krishna consciousness. I will only speak very short and briefly, because I can well imagine that you would like to pose questions to our guest of honor. I will also speak in English and not in German, because I saw that most of you understood. We do have so many guests from different countries. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Bhakti Charu Maharaj was explaining a little bit about the ability of the Krishna consciousness movement to bring people of different kinds together in Krishna consciousness. Our movement can only be brought together if we are, and this is what follows, Krishna conscious, that is, conscious of Krishna. The beauty and the speciality of a spiritual society like the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is resting on the fact that the members are conscious about Krishna. when we are not conscious about Krishna, this movement will lose its binding factor. It will not be what it is meant to be. Now, especially in the modern times, people ask, where is God? Where is Krishna? Can you show me God? They challenge our movement. You are idealists. You are hoping that there is a God who comes to you after your earthly toils and labors. But where is God now? Once, there was a monk who was traveling through a village. And the atheists asked him, where is your God? Can you show us God? We don't believe that there is a God. So the monk was saying, before I start to preach, please bring me a glass of milk. My throat is a little dry. So the farmers brought him a glass of milk, and the monks looked into the glass of milk and said, where is the butter in this glass of milk? Can you show me the butter? I have heard that in milk there is butter, but I can't see it. Where is it? I don't believe that there is butter in this milk. So the farmer said, my dear monk, of course there is butter. You just churn it, and then you have the, what is called, the lumps of butter and the buttermilk. This is how it goes. By churning it, you can get the milk, the butter out of the milk. Ah, said the monk, now do you understand? What? Said the atheist. Now, do you understand? Use your brain, said the monk. Just like butter is all-pervading in milk, in the same way, my God is everywhere. Vasudeva Savamiti. The Vasudev, the Lord, is present everywhere. You only have to know the process, how to make him visible. This is our movement for Krishna consciousness. We are not just saying there is God and we should all become united as servants of God. No, there is a process whereby which you can make God visible in this world. And we all need to be educated about this process so that we can participate in this movement for Krishna consciousness with full faith and full realization. Let me now tell you a little bit how it is possible to see, or not see, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of Krishna consciousness. But before doing this, I want to tell you a personal experience which I had in the year 1973 when I was going the first time to India. At that time I wanted to take my first bath in Ganga, the river Ganges. Who of you has heard about Ganges? I think everyone. I had heard that if you take a bath in Ganga, in the Ganges River, you are washed from karma. And as a result, you become very blissful. So, naturally my interest was to have some blissful experience. And I remember I went into the river. It was around 6 o'clock in the night, in the evening, and there was a sound of temple bells and the sound of kirtan coming from the other side of Ganga. drifting into my ear, and I was going into the river. First it was a little cold, but then I felt all of a sudden the effect of taking a bath in the Ganga. My heart became extremely light, when I went out of the river Ganga, I was not only physically refreshed, but mentally relieved, free from my nervous German anxieties, just happy, and felt very close to Krishna. And I still remember my realization at that time. I thought, Sachinandan Swami, you can only see H2O working here. H2O is a chemical formula for water. But by the effect which this bath or this water has on your consciousness, you feel very relieved and very happy. Something mystical has happened here. Something spiritual must have happened here. And this is a point which you need to keep in mind, as I will explain how the processes of Krishna consciousness can bring you in contact with Krishna. When you take a bath in the water of the Ganga, you cannot understand with your rational mind how karma is taken away from your heart and how you feel blissful. But it is the natural reaction. In the same way, when you take to the processes of Krishna consciousness, you cannot understand how it works, but the result shows you that it really works, that you really have the process to come in contact with Krishna, that you have the process to get the butter out of the milk, so to say. The first process of Krishna consciousness is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, a psychological transformation takes place, that is, you get joyful, but also a spiritual transformation takes place. You are getting free from karma. You are becoming, your fate actually changes, and what was previously a nervous German becomes a beginning transcendentalist. That is the effect which we have seen many times, not only in Germany, but all over the world. The next point where you can meet actually Krishna is in reading transcendental scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. It is said by just reading these scriptures, the Lord manifests on the lotus of your heart. That means in practical realizations, you will become God consciousness and you will lose your fear and your lamentation and your anxieties. The next process to try in Krishna consciousness is to come into the association with saintly devotees of the Lord. I think we all realize when we hear our revered and respected Bhakti Charu Maharaj speaking, just by his association, our heart melts and we become transcendentally relieved and happy. This is the effect of Sadhu Sangha, coming in association with devotees. There are other processes, but I only want to draw your attention on the chanting, on the reading of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating with devotees. By these simple processes, we can all realize how God, how Krishna becomes visible in our lives. Just like the atheistic people told the monk, just churn the milk, and you will get the butter. You will see it. Also, we can say to the atheists and to the skeptical people and the esoteric people. Just try these processes in Krishna consciousness and you will see that in a spiritually way they will change your life and you will actually be able to become Krishna conscious. This is the potency of these processes. Please now become very German-like or Holland-like or English-like. Don't believe it, just try it and make the experiment. You will see the butter. Other terms, you will actually realize the Supreme Lord in your life. And what could be better than this? Hare Krishna. I want to now inspire all of you to use the opportunity to ask your relevant questions in Krishna consciousness. I want to encourage really every one of you to do this. When we are in contact with devotees, there is one effect in just seeing them or feeling their transcendental spiritual atmosphere which they spread, but there is even greater benefit if we can ask them our questions, our doubts, so that by their realized words they can enlighten us in Krishna consciousness. And you know, we have the rare opportunity to have a real transcendentalist here. We should ask him. I am just the shadow, the imitation. And now we will go back to the substance. Hare Krishna. So please ask your relevant question and don't be shy. Shyness is not appropriate when we eat and when we ask questions to the sadhu. Hare Krishna. Here is our Upagupta.
Sometimes we get criticized that we are only concerned with loving God and we neglect other people or human beings, and the freshness comes out that Krishnas are neglecting love of human beings. They always focus everything on Krishna. So how would be the Krishna conscious way to deal with people, especially when the dividing comes between mundane people and devotees? Always this gulf is there. How to deal with them and to not be selfish on only projected on Krishna?
As I mentioned earlier, first of all, you have to understand what love is. True love automatically inspires one to care and serve. Whereas what is going on in the name of love in this world is simply exploitation. They say they love, but actually what they do is exploit. Therefore they become frustrated after a while. Like, there is a lot of promise in the beginning. A boy falls in love with a girl and says how much she loves her. But then, if the girl is intelligent enough, soon she realizes that he is simply saying that he loves me, but what he is doing is exploiting me. And she gets disgusted and says, I don't want to be with you. And that's why they separate from each other. Right. Whereas when it comes to real love, then comes care. Like we can see in a mother. The mother naturally loves her child. And she is prepared to do anything for that child. Now, in that light, when we see the Krishna devotees, what do we see? First of all, we see that they have accepted a very pure life. They abstain from all kinds of sinful activities. They are non-violent, that's why they don't eat meat. They don't indulge in intoxication, they don't indulge in illicit sex and gambling. Why? because they have a very high standard of purity. So they are leading a pure life. And we can see that what they are actually doing. They are going out and reminding everyone about his relationship with God. Now, isn't this the highest benefit that one can render? In this respect, I will give you, to clarify that point, I will make and give an example from Srila Prabhupada. Once, when Srila Prabhupada was in Pune, in India, he was staying with a very wealthy industrialist there. So this man is pious, very pious man, but very wealthy man. And so he was asking Srila Prabhupada that why aren't you doing any charity and welfare activities? You are just going out and asking everybody to preach and chant the holy name of the Lord, etc., etc. But you are not actually opening hospitals, you are not giving help to the poor, and so on and so forth. Then Prabhupada told him that, look, you are very well connected to one of the richest families in India, the Birla family. They are the richest Indian family. He said, you are very close to Birla family. Now, if you see, now one of the sons of Birla became mad. He lost his memory, and one day he walked out of the house and he got lost. Although he is the son of the richest man in India, but he is loitering in the street like a madman and begging for a handful of food and being insulted by everybody. Now, if you see that boy in the street, and if you just give him 5 rupees, do you think you have done him real benefit? What will you naturally do? You will say, what? You are the son of Birla and this is the condition that you are in? Come, I will take you back to your father. Now, ISKCON devotees are doing that. They recognize that every living entity is a son of God, is a child of God. The richest personality, the supreme personality. But because they have lost their father, because they have forgotten about their father, they are suffering. They are going through so much humiliation and deprivation. And ISKCON devotees are simply telling that. Look, your father is the supreme personality of Godhead. But forgetting him, you are suffering in this way. So please come, I'll take you back to your father. So now tell me, what is the real welfare activity? Now tell me, is ISKCON devotees are neglecting the responsibility to their fellow human being? No. They are actually rendering the most magnanimous welfare activity.